Everybody, welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. We're so thankful that you're here. If you're a first-time guest today, we'd like to just greet you and thank you for coming today. If you haven't already, you can stop by the kiosk on the way into the church. We have a couple of bits of information we'd like to get from you just to get to know you a little bit better. We also have a small gift for you there. If you're visiting online, you can do that same thing at the bit.ly link at the bottom of your screen, bit.ly/connect to CG. And that, we're just so thankful that you're here and hope you have a great time while you're here. Amen. There are four giving options here at Calvary Gospel Church we'd like to remind you of. You can always give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person if you want to place your offering in one of the boxes on the way into the sanctuary. You can give by mail by mailing a check to 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. Or you can give on the mobile giving app. It's called Church Center in the App Store. You can download that, enter in your phone number and a couple of bits of information and get connected. We're just so thankful for all those who support Calvary Gospel's mission and to reach the lost in Dane County. And just thankful for all of your support. Amen. We want to remind everybody of a few announcements this week. Family camp starts today. Awesome. It goes through Friday night, and we encourage everyone to attend at least one service if possible, and details are posted on the doors on the way into the building. You can get the details there if you want to snap a picture. The church office, because of this, will be closed this week due to family camp, and so there won't be anybody here at the office. You might have noticed the parking lot was supposed to be done. I think that they got postponed from some rain. And so probably some point in time this week, they're going to probably try to do that. So if you see cones or anything blocking off the parking lot, if you need to get into the building, please do not park or leave a car here this week, especially if you're going to family camp. Let me repeat that. If you're going to family camp, don't leave your car here. It might turn up to be black as the painted black like the parking lot if it gets left in the parking lot. So just don't do that, okay? And so next Sunday, July 7th at 10 a.m. is going to be our new Elements team term beginning. And this is a class that's kind of built for people who are wanting to get a better foundation for their faith. If you're a new believer or new into the church, this would be a great class for you. If you've been in church for many years, but you feel like that your foundation might need a little strengthening and a little teaching, this is a great class for you. And so this is these elements or these building blocks, these elements of the foundation of our faith will be available starting July 7th. We'd like for you to get signed up for that. So you can see one of our ushers or greeters if you'd like to get to become a part of that class. July 8th through 10th, Monday through Wednesday, is going to be a three-day prayer and fasting, okay? And so we've been scheduling our prayer and fasting every quarter, and so this quarter is going to be the 8th through the 10th. And so we want everyone who is following this schedule to please be in prayer and fasting, and our goal and our theme for this week of prayer and fasting is going to be faith, and that will conclude on a prayer night. That week we'll have a time of prayer. I can't remember exactly, it's not on this list, right? But we'll have prayer, corporate prayer that week. And so we're just thankful for all of those who continue to support us also in prayer. Let's all stand. As you are aware, or you may not be aware, I guess, Pastor Roy has had foot surgery. It was pretty extensive. They have him in a cast, and he's not able to move or to get on that foot for at least a couple weeks. And then he won't be allowed to drive and have some limited mobility for 10 weeks. And so because of that, we will see him on and off, but probably we won't see him until we see Morton Bustard come a little bit later in the month. And so we just want to keep praying for Pastor Roy and his quick recovery. Even though this is kind of a scheduled recovery, we want him to not feel a lot of pain and go through any dramatic trauma associated with what could happen if something was to go bad. We want to pray that everything goes well, all right? And we also want to remember Zippy, our little guy who's been in the ICU for dealing with leukemia. I'm wearing the orange leukemia, child leukemia pin today. And he has been in and out of the hospital. He has a rash, and has some swelling of his eyes and some other things going on. They said it could be because there might be some of the cell grafting into the bone marrow might not be working just right, and it might be causing a reaction, which is not a great thing to hear about. And so what we want to do is pray that that's not the case, that it's just something else, and that his body is taking these bone marrow cells and using them to replenish the blood in his body and to make him just a normal, well, young little boy. So we want to remember Zippy. There's a number of other people here dealing with cancer situations. We can't name them all today, but we want to just do this. If you are here and you have a situation or a need that needs prayer, would you just lift your hands right now to the Lord? If there's someone right now that has their hand up to the Lord, would you just bind in faith with them today? Maybe if it's appropriate, lay your hand on their shoulder or grab them by the hand and pray with them right now. We're going to go to the Lord. We're going to pray out loud. We're going to ask God to intercede on their behalf. Would you just do that with me right now? Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, for all these hands that are in the air, Pastor Roy who's at home, for Zippy who is not feeling well, God, for all of these who are struggling with sickness and disease. Maybe you have a family issue, maybe you have a financial issue, maybe you have some other type of issue, God. We ask you to touch all of these issues of these people who are here by faith, with their hands lifted in the air by faith, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to have your way, God, to do your work, perform miracles, signs, and wonders, God. Have your way in the lives of your children today, God. We just give you all the glory and honor and all the praise. Would you just say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. Just say that out loud, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's believe it. Let's believe it. Would you just worship with us for the next few moments?
All of my fears I will turn into praise. Shake off and sing out your name. Sing out your name. A victory dance. I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance. I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. 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 Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
It's possible. We're going to sing this bridge one more time, and we're going to step out in faith and say, all of my fear, I'm going to turn it into praise. Everything that I've been holding back, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to worship. Let's sing it together.
All of my fear, I will turn into praise. Shout out the fear and I sing out your praise. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear, I will turn it into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Show me one thing he can't
show
do.
Show me a mountain.
Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough.
He's the God of my breakthrough.
Possible. Show me one thing that's too hard.
Show me waters.
Show me waters he can't
hide. He's the God.
He's the God of the breakthrough. When anything is possible.
Jesus,
my God, made me a promise and it won't stop now. I know breakthrough is coming. By faith,
see a miracle.
My God, made me a promise and it won't stop now.
Your presence is an open door. Jesus, he's still moving, he's still proving just how great he is, how great he is. He's still moving,
and he's still proving,
he's still proving
just how great he is,
You're the God of miracles. He's still moving. He's still proving just how great He is. How great He is. He's still moving. He's still proving just how great He is. How great He is, Jesus.
Let's just worship Him some more. Thank You, Jesus. God, You are so great. The Bible says He inhabits the praises. He dwells where we are praising Him. God, we worship You today. We lift You up today. God, we want to know You more today and connect with You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just listen for the Lord right now.
I come to you, my precious children. You are mine, and I am yours. Bow down before me. Surrender your hearts to me. Receive my love today.
Let's all worship Him today. Thank You, Jesus. God, You are so good. Thank You for Your presence in this place, Father. Thank You for what we feel from You today, God. You are so good. You are so good. Praise God. If you're a guest here today, if this is your first time, or maybe you've just been coming for a little bit here, I just want to say welcome. Welcome to worshiping with God with us today. We're so glad you're here. It's an honor to have you here, whether you're online watching or here in person. We're just so excited to have you. And I would take it a step further. If you're looking for something a little bit different, a little bit more, maybe a promise of a better future, this is a place to be today. This is a place to be in the future because God is here. And I also want to say, too, we know our pastor, he's probably watching online. Pastor, I honor you this morning. I know he would be here if he could, but he's up with his ankle surgery, and so keep him in your prayers. But I want to make sure we honor our pastor this morning, Pastor Roy, and his wife, Sister Lois. Yes. I want to read from Genesis 12. And starting in verse 1 this morning, and it says this in Genesis 12, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you.'" This morning, I want to speak on a title called Promises. We read this story about the promises of Abraham, but I want to talk about promises this morning. Could you put your Bibles down and bow your head? And let's pray that God speaks into our hearts this morning. Father, God, we know You're here. We know Your presence is speaking into hearts and minds. God, I pray, Lord, that Your word would not go forth void, that it would fall on good soil, God, that our hearts and minds and lives would be changed, Lord, as we hear and understand and follow Your word, God. Lord, let Your anointing go forth into people's hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You could be seated this morning. Early in the Bible starts in the book of Genesis, but early in the Bible, we hear about this person called Abraham. It's pretty quick, actually. It's Genesis 12. So we hear about this man called Abraham very early on, and we hear a little bit about his heritage, you know. But all of a sudden, in Genesis 12, this is when we get introduced to Abraham. And his name's not Abraham at the time. His name is Abraham. Abraham. And it says, the Lord said to Abram, this is what we were just reading, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they had came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the Oad of Morah, because there were Canaanites in the land at the time. Even though God said, go to this land, there was other people living there. The Lord appeared to Abram. He said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel. He pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai in the east, he built an altar to the Lord there, and he called the name of the Lord, called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram journeyed by stages to the Negev. What we're hearing about in this story is a promise, a collection of promises that God is making to a man, Abram, and his family. We read it in order. It says, I will show you a land. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Let me make it a little bit more simple. He said, I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to give you a people. I'm going to give you a purpose. And I'm going to give you power. He didn't just say, I'm going to bless you and you're going to live fat, dumb, and happy. He said, I'm going to bless you and you are going to bless others. This isn't just this blessing where, like, I'm up here saying, if you just do this, you're going to get the blessings of the Lord. No, no, no. He's saying, I have a purpose for you. I have a power for your life. I'm going to give you a place to live where you will grow and you will be happy and it will be abundant and you won't have to go through the craziness of your past life. I'm going to give you a purpose. But the first verse in that word, that first word in that verse is, he says, he had to go. He said, you have to leave the land that you are living in. You have to go from your land, from your relatives, from your father's house to the place I'm showing you. And we read in verse 4 that Abraham went. God was promising Abraham this personal relationship with him. You know, we had read Adam and Eve, and things didn't go super great there, right? And then we hear the story of Noah. The world had got pretty evil, right? And so God had to have a flood. And in that flood, even, he made a promise. I'm not going to destroy the world again. But it's almost like God said, I'm going to try something a little bit differently. I'm going to create me a family. I'm going to create this group of people that Brother Jerry said it the other night. God was building a family. I like that when you said that. I'm going to build me a family. And I'm going to start with this guy right here. I'm going to start with Abraham, and I'm going to make him a promise that I'm going to just have a relationship with him. And if he'll go where I tell him to go, if he will leave the things of his past that weren't amounting to anything and probably bringing him guilt and shame and depression and just craziness, I will bless him. God is making a promise to Abraham. He had to leave his current lifestyle. He had to step out and say, what I'm doing isn't bringing me the joy and the peace and the prosperity that I wanted it to. And he stepped out in faith. And you know, in the end, it says, then Abram journeyed by stages. This walk with God, God calls us, but this walk with God, there's some steps along the way. We don't just get to start with a calling and end with, you know, here we go, I'm the Pope. You know, it's just, there's a work along the way. There's a process that we go through. I think sometimes we hear this idea that God made a promise to Abraham, and it says at the end, you know, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and I will bless everybody through you. And it's easy to read through that scripture and say, well, that's really cute that God made a promise to Abraham. Real great. What does that have to do with me? I also think that in our current world that we live in, and in just our own experiences, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm the only one that's biased, but I've been disappointed quite a few times. I've been made a lot of promises that haven't come through. I think back to when I was, I was probably 8 years old. And Mom, I'm sorry, but this is a true story. I was really into, like, playing army, right? And so my mom went to the craft store, Joanne Fabrics, and she got one of those, like, print things. I don't even know what they are. And on the front of it was this little boy dressed as an army soldier with camouflage and a little beret. And he looked so cool. And she's like, I'm going to make this for you. And when I was 9, I was like, Mom, it's down there in the basement. Can we just make it? Oh, we're going to get to it, Peter. I promise. And when I was 10, don't worry. We're going to get to it. I promise. When I was 11, we're going to get to it. I promise. I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I was well into my teens still hoping for that. It was not going to fit me, and I was going to look like a weirdo, but I was begging for that promise because I had my eyes set. I had heard something when I was little that there's something really cool for me, and I wanted it so bad. And so, go figure, years passed, and I just start to learn about disappointment. And it's not my mom, right? It's just life. Your promises at your job, your promises with people you're dating, your promises with the society, you know, I'm going to win the lottery, all these things, right? And just little by little, these promises aren't what they, or some promises I get, but they're not what they were all cracked up to be. I can't say whether that's why I joined the army, to finally get that uniform, but if that's the truth, but if that's the truth, that was an inefficient spending of 8 years. I could have just sewn it myself at that point. But you get it, right? We live in a society, we live in a world where we're constantly being promised things only to be disappointed. And so when we read God's word, it's easy to read it and say, well, that was for Abraham. Or sure, that's going to be a great promise. I'm going to see some of that. This world makes so many promises today, and yet we still end up disappointed. But today, God is reminding everybody here that he has a promise for you. It's not just for Abraham. The promises of the Bible, the promises in Abraham, were not just for him and for his family. They're for us too. Let me read from Genesis 17, because this is still God telling Abram what his promises are. He's like, I will confirm my covenant. I will confirm my promise that is between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations. It is a permanent covenant. It is a permanent promise to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. Pastor Jerry said that we might not be Hebrew in heritage, but we when we begin to follow God and accept him as our father, we fall under the heritage of Abraham. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every promise comes from God and does not change. If you need one more, Jesus in Matthew says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, my promises are not going to pass away. What I promised Abraham is still today. What I promised Abraham for him and his family is still for you. I have a place for you. I have a people for you. I have a purpose for you. I have a power for you. But too often we see the Bible, and this is the small print version, but too often we see the Bible as this big, thick collection of rules. And in seeing the rules, we miss the promises. We see the go and miss the blessing. We see the leave and we miss the blessing to others. Maybe I could say it this way. The Bible is literally a book of promises. The Bible is a book of promises. Promises of a God who wants to have a relationship with you and me. Promises of a God who will end captivity, who will bring freedom, who will bring hope. He promises hope. He promises love. He promises blessings. He promises peace in your life. He promises joy in your life. He promises comfort and counsel. He promises deliverance from addiction. He promises abundant life. This whole Bible is promises. I was talking to my kids. I said, what are some of the promises? Well, he had a promise to Rahab. She was not even a Jewish person. And he's like, there's a promise for you. You do the right thing. You help my people. You're going to be saved. Countless people in the Old Testament, you see these promises, and they weren't to this great, awesome person like an Abraham. They were to sinners and prostitutes and people that were doing bad things. And God said, if you will go, if you will leave, I promise to have the same blessing as Abraham. In fact, he promises Abram this land of Canaan. And for so long, the people of Israel are talking about this land. We're going to go to this land. We're going to go. In fact, what did they call it? The promised land. And then when they get to that land, they say, let's go check out what this promise is all about. And they send 12 people in to go check it out. And 10 of them are like, whoo, this is scary. We better not go. And 2 are like, no, this is my promise. This is what God promised us. I don't care what's there. I don't care how big the giants are or the Canaanites are. This is my promise, and it's a whole lot better than the Egypt and the slavery I just left. It's a whole lot better than the lifestyle I just left, this lifestyle of pain, of sacrifice, of serving somebody else. I want to serve God. I want to see fruit in my life. And he goes from promising a land to promising a relationship. But you know where the first promise of the Bible is? Back in Genesis 3. We read the story of Adam and Eve, and God puts them in this perfect scenario in a garden where they get to walk with him, and they have that perfect relationship. He's like, I only got one rule. Remember, in fact, if they would have just obeyed the one rule, we wouldn't have got the rest of the rules, right? I got one rule for you. Just don't touch this tree. It's for your own good. Trust me. And what do? They touch the tree. The serpent convinces them to touch the tree. And so God starts, he says, okay, now you got to leave the garden. And man, it's going to be harder for you to work, Adam. You don't just get to walk around naked like naming trees. You got to start doing something. You're going to have to plant some trees. You're going to have to plant crops to get food. Like, it's not going to be easy. And he tells the woman, for your part, it's going to be a little harder to have children. There's going to be some labor pains, right? But then he makes a promise. Now, keep in mind where we're at here. There's this moment where they had this perfect relationship, and God says, okay, you chose to walk away from this relationship. And so now let me give you a promise to how we're going to build this back. And he's giving us a promise to the serpent and to Eve. And he says, I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. The he will strike your head means that the offspring of Eve, way in the future, will crush this serpent. Once and for all. But that serpent's going to bruise his heel. Something's going to happen to that offspring. And so this is the first moment we hear about a promise of a Messiah. Someone who's going to come and correct this relationship that was broken, that was torn apart. And so God comes to Abraham, and Abram, and he goes to Abram. He changes his name to Abraham later. That's why I get the names. But he goes to Abraham, and he goes, you're going to be part of this promise. Your family is going to bring this about. Go. And then we see this character in the New Testament. All through the Old Testament, we hear about this Messiah, and he's coming. He's going to be great, and he's going to save the people. And they've been under captive from all these different groups and the Romans, and things are crazy. And they're hearing about this conqueror, this king, this Messiah, this Savior that's going to come. And along comes this bearded carpenter. And what do we see him do? We see him bring good news. We see him heal the sick, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, releasing those held captive by torments and demons and by their addictions. We see him helping the helpless, blessing the outcast, and befriending the sinners. This is a promise. He's fulfilling promises. Even as Jesus, he comes to earth, God comes to earth as Jesus, and he starts saying, see, these are the promises I've been promising you all along. But then it gets a little bit weird because I think the people that are following him at this time, and if you're reading along, you're like, well, that's great again. And that was for Abraham, maybe. Well, and then Jesus, he was doing this stuff for these people. And Jesus said, whoa, 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 hold on, hold on. This is just a taste of what's to come. I'm just here to fulfill the promise about striking that serpent down. There's a whole different promise that you don't even know about. He says in John 14, 16, he says, I will ask the Father. This is Jesus speaking. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Verse 17, he is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you. Who's he talking about? He said, I'm with you, but I will be in you. He's like, yeah, I'm the promised Messiah, but there's a promise greater than this. A promise where you don't gotta be living at the 33-year mark when I was alive. I'm gonna come as a spirit that you can't see and live inside of you. Moving down in 14, it says 26, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Comforter, just in case you were not clear, he said, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you. And so now here Jesus is saying, wait, there's another promise. And to them it seems real new. And he dies. They kill him for being this, for being the King of the Jews. They kill him and they bury him and he's rose from the grave. Some people still aren't believing at this point. And he's talking to his disciples in Acts 1. In verse 4 it says, while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. What promise do you think he's talking about now that we heard John 14? The promise of the Holy Ghost. The promise of his Spirit coming to live inside of us. None of this, hey, Abram, I'll tell you where to go. You go there. You know, I'll be way up here. You be way down here, but you obey, right? None of this, I'm Jesus, and if you happen to be here at the 33-year time then that I was here, you might have a blessing or whatever. He's saying, no, I'm going to be in you forever. There's a promise coming. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Verse 8, but you will receive power. Oh, we're starting to hear about this promise again. You're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And so the disciples, these 12 men and probably more people that are following him, they're all like, okay, we're waiting. We're going to just chill here. You had no idea, Brother Tim. I heard there was some fireworks in class this morning. Yes. Did anybody, everybody's got their hair, Sister Ann? You guys got to watch out for kids' rages. There was flames. People were getting the Holy Ghost. And so they're sitting there waiting, and they're like, okay, God, okay, you know, you told us to wait. You went up into heaven. You said there's going to be this promise of the Holy Spirit that's going to live inside of us and help us. And then in Acts 2, they're sitting up there in this place called the Upper Room. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, where they were staying. And they saw tongues like fire. And it filled the whole house, tongues like fire that separated and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This promise from the beginning started as a, hey, I'm going to bring a Messiah. But that Messiah is going to correct things of the past, and he's going to leave, and he's going to come back and live inside of your hearts. No longer do you have to wander the land like Abraham. No longer do you have to hope to be the woman that grabs onto Jesus' garment because you were in the right place at the right time and you tried really hard. God is here right now, and he knows your story. He knows your past. He knows your hurts. He knows your sins. He knows what you did this morning that you're ashamed of. And he doesn't care. Because he says, I love you. And I'm going to take you from where you're at. And we're going to change. I'm going to give you a people. I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to give you a purpose. I'm going to give you a power. And so this promise that was promised by Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming, and he told them to wait for the promise that I just told you about. And they wait, and the promise comes. And everyone watching is confused and thinks that the people are crazy or drunk. But Peter, I like this dude, but Peter stands up and says, no. They're not crazy or drunk. This is a promise. This is a promise. We've been waiting for this. You don't believe me? Let's go to Joel. Peter says, Joel 2:17. He's like, and it will be in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not the rich people. Not the people with the right parents. I'm not pouring out my spirit on the people that have tried harder. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. Peter said, this is the promise Joel spoke about. And then you start reading back through the whole Bible. You're like, wow, this was promised a bunch, and we were missing it. We were missing this promise that God was going to, he's not going to just be with us anymore. He's going to be in us, guiding us, helping us. The promise is that God will live inside of us, that he will help us, that we cannot do this on our own. But he's inside of us and he will encourage us. He can deliver us. He can strengthen us, give us wisdom. We can help others. The promise is freedom from depression and anxiety. The promise is freedom from addiction. It's healing for your body, healing for your mind, healing for your mindset. It's healing for your hurts and traumas. Those offenses that have happened in your life, Jesus says, I want to heal you of those. Leave where you're at and come with me. The promise is a new life, a new place, a new people, a new purpose, a new power. And these promises, once again, are not just for Abram. They're not just for the 12 that followed Jesus. They're not just for the however many that were in the upper room that received the Holy Ghost. Because after he tells them, hey, it's in Joel. This is the promise. These people aren't crazy. It was in Joel. Peter says, hold on, let me tell you a little story. There was a promise about a Messiah. And then you killed that Messiah. And they're all sitting there going, oh, we did. What are we supposed to do about it? And Peter said, don't worry about it, because that was just one of the promises. There's an even better promise coming up. And he says in verse 37, sorry, now he says, but after he tells them that, they say, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They're like, oh, we've missed it. We've missed the promise. I could just imagine feeling like we missed the bus. We missed the boat. We didn't get to spend those 3 years with Jesus like you did. We missed the miracles. And they said, what are we supposed to do now? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you too will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not just for those of us that were here when God told us to be here. He says, for the promise is unto you. The promise is unto you. The same promise from Abraham. The promise of a Savior in your life. The promise of the Holy Spirit living and working inside of you. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are afar off, even as many of the Lord, as our Lord our God shall call. The musicians can come this morning. The promise is for us today. The promise is for you today. For you today. For you today. It's for you today. It's for you today. I don't know where to put the emphasis, but the promise is for you today. God has a promise for you regardless of your past. He has a promise for you regardless of your parentage, regardless of your pedigree, regardless of your pay, regardless of your property, regardless of your present condition, regardless of your pain, there is a promise for you today, the promise of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to change your life. when you start reading through the whole Bible. There's a lot of boring parts. But there's a lot of weaving in and out of promises. And you see it through the Bible. Don't leave today thinking those promises were for somebody else. Don't leave today thinking those promises are meant for somebody that's better than you, or better parents than you, or grew up in a better home than you, or had a better pedigree than you. Don't leave thinking that because your sins or your past, those promises aren't for you. God wants you to know the promises are for you today. Let's all stand. God doesn't just want to have some rules with you. He doesn't want to just say, be like Abraham. Boy, those were pretty cool promises. He's like, I'll give you land. I'm going to give you a giant family. I'm going to bless you. You're going to bless others. And all the world will be blessed through you. God doesn't just want you to walk around in the land of Canaan and speak to you from time to time. He said, I've come to live inside of you. We're getting ready to close this up. And when I do, I want to give us an opportunity to respond. I don't know where you're at. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's where you're going. 8 times God told Abraham, I will. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. I will make you a great nation. I will show you a land. The promises are not up to us to fulfill. You don't got to come down here saying, God, how do I fulfill? I got to do all these things. He's like, I will do it. I say, what I say to do, I will do it. Abram was only asked to do one thing, to go. To leave the lifestyle he was living, to leave the homeland of his father, to leave this lifestyle that was not probably getting him anywhere. And so I don't know where you're at today. But if you're looking for a promise of a place, a people, a power, a purpose, if you're looking for peace in your life, if you just sit there and you're saying, you know, I need God's spirit guiding me because I keep messing up. All this peace and joy and happiness I'm promised on TikTok is not coming my way. Oh, if I have this relationship, that'll do it for me. Maybe you're through a couple relationships and you still don't have it. God is saying, I want to come live inside of you today. And so if you've never received the promise of the Holy Spirit, if you've never received that promise, that's for each and every one of you today. There's an opportunity for you. Brother Jerry, some of the altar workers, if you can come down to the front. In just a moment here, we're going to start singing. But if you've never received the promise of the Holy Spirit, maybe you doubted it was for you. Maybe you thought you weren't good enough. That's all lies. If you want to receive the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit living inside, you just come to this side right here. Somebody will pray with you. Or maybe there's some other promises you've been forgetting about. Maybe you received the promise of the Holy Spirit a long time ago, but you're like, I need to stand on those promises. Come down on this side. Let's worship God today. You got to leave where you're at and come find God. You don't have to live where you're living. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you today. Let's worship God. Let's come down. If you want the Holy Ghost, come to this side. If you want to be reminded of the promises of God in your life, or you need to remind yourself, come down to this side. God wants to do something great today. He doesn't want to end it at Abraham. Hallelujah.
Promises, we're standing on His promises. In Him we have our confidence. He won't fail. Promises. Your promises, in Him we have a confidence, He won't fail. only for us. He will be with us. He will not forsake us. He will not forsake us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. His word will fail. His word will fail. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Promises. We're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence. He won't fail. Promises. We're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence. He won't fail. Forsake us. He will go before us. He will lead with us. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. His word won't fail. His word won't fail. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. His word won't fail. Dismayed. Promises. We're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence. He won't fail. Promises. We're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence. He won't fail.
Promises. In Him we have a confidence.
dismayed. Promises, we're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence. He won't fail. Promises, we're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence.
Confidence, He won't fail. me, ways made straight, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Mountains are moving, ways made straight, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. He is so good, and his promises are good, and his promises are everlasting. I encourage you this week, start reflecting back on some of the promises of God's word. Maybe you got to remind yourself of a few. Maybe there's some moments where you do relate to Abram, and you say, I got to leave this lifestyle. I'm going to go because I want a promise of a place, a promise of a people, a promise of a purpose, and a promise of power. God bless you today. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Have a great July 4th. Go with God and his promises. Amen.